Well, good morning, everybody. It's always good to be together, isn't it? And we say that week by week, but it is good to be together. And as we come together, you know, we all grow together. It says we are joined together as a body. And as we join together, it allows something of our spiritual nature, our spiritual maturity to kind of cross one another, and we cause growth. So just by being together, we are growing together, which is really good. And so it's great to be together. It's great to be in the presence of God. And just hearing his voice this morning speaking to us, I just want to remind you of what that was in a moment. But I just want you to think, because the worship we've sang this morning is about our surrender to God, about how we relate to him, how we see God in our lives, how we commit to him, and what that means for us. And that will be different for each person here. The question I've got to ask is, what is the most important thing in your life? And if it is important, is that what your whole focus is around? So you can reflect on that as we go through the service. But Eddie brought something from God to us about the fullness of our salvation. We understand that our sin is forgiven. That is the first step of God entering into our hearts, into our lives, rebirthing us spiritually and beginning his growth within us. But our salvation, this relationship with God that we have, is more than just that. And that is just the starting point. There is a fullness of God in what he wants to bring to our hearts and bring to our lives. He wants to transform us. He wants to deal with the stuff that is going on in us. All the brokenness that we have, he wants to put new dreams in our hearts so that we begin to grow and prosper in him. In John 10:10, it says he came to give us life to the fullness, or life in abundance. And that's what God wants to bring to us. And if you're not living in that place of abundance spiritually, of abundance with God, then listen to what I've got to say this morning. It may just help you focus a little bit more. So my reading this morning is from Luke. I'm going to put my glasses on. Now, these are my sunglasses. It's not because I'm cool. It's because I've broke my other ones. And this is all I could find. So here we go. Luke 10. This, for those that have been on the way for a while, is a very familiar story. But it's got a little truth in there that I just want to draw out this morning. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is the better, and it will not be taken from her." So, there's a saying in life, stay focused. It's usually a sporting term, isn't it? Keep your eye on the ball. Always concentrate, stay focused on what you're doing, or you only get out of life or out of anything what you put into it. That's another saying we use, and it's all or nothing. In other words, we put everything in, or what's the point? There is no point trying. And so these are familiar sayings that we have in life. And I often sit at my desk. Those of you who come into the building will see me sat at my desk. You don't know what I'm doing, but I'm sat at my desk. And I'm sometimes studying for Sunday mornings, doing some background readings, just preparing. Sometimes I'm doing administrative work. Sometimes I'm thinking about where God is taking us, what our vision is for this church, how we connect with our community and bring this message of good news to our community. So I'm doing all those kind of things. But I get distracted quite easily because I'm not very good at all that stuff. I'm not very good at studying. I really have to talk to myself about studying. And I can get distracted. And you know what? I find myself on the roof, or in the boiler room, or in the kitchen, or doing something that is just a bit of a distraction, really, because it seems to be a bit easier than studying. And you may find the same thing when you're trying to focus on something that is quite important, that you can get distracted. And then you find yourself doing something, you think, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this when I should be doing the more important thing that I'm focusing on? And so that's something of the story of Mary and Martha. So Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had to say. Very inactive, just sat there listening to Jesus. But whenever we read in the New Testament about the communication that Jesus had with those around him, those in his community, those villages that he went to, those people that he was speaking to, he was talking about the kingdom of God. This was good news. And that's what we call the gospel, good news. And so he was talking about the good news of the kingdom of God. It was good news to those that heard it, because it offered something different from what they'd heard before. So Jesus was talking about grace and love and a loving Father that wanted to live in our hearts. And until that point, the whole of the Jewish nation relied on animal sacrifices, rules and rituals to keep our place in God's will, if you like. They had to work hard doing very practical things to keep their relationship with God. And this became quite burdensome. Can you imagine it? Every time you committed a sin, you had to make a sacrifice. Some of us, that would be what we spent our time doing, wouldn't it? Just sacrificing to God. And so it was quite burdensome. And the do's and the don'ts of the Jewish faith were very strict, very extreme. And so a lot of people just couldn't hack it. They just could not keep up with all the rules and regulations. And I suppose in many ways, spiritually, they just gave up because they knew they couldn't do it. They knew that the burden placed upon them was so great that they just could not do it. And Jesus knew this, and that's why he came with a new vision, a new truth about the kingdom of heaven. And he said in Matthew 11, I love this one, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." What he was saying was that no longer do you have to fulfill all the rituals, all the rules, but live by faith in my grace, in my truth, and my burden is light. You'll have a relationship with me that is completely different one than what you've had before. Obviously, Jesus was talking about a new way, the kingdom of heaven, that lived based on grace and love and included everybody, no matter what they failed to do in the past. So very often people would fail. I don't know whether you've ever been in a position where you keep failing at something and in the end you give up. And you see that with children. We've got that with our grandson at the moment. He's trying to tie his shoelaces and he tries and then he gives up. And then he tries again, and he gives up. But we encourage him to keep going, because he'll crack it one day. But sometimes we can face things in life, and we keep trying to do them, and we fail, and we try again, and we fail. And in the end, we think, there's no point, is there? Nothing is going to improve. And this is how very much the relationship the Jewish people have with their religious laws, that they were kind of tying them down, putting them on a yoke on them that was very, very difficult for them to bear. And if we exchange that for the yoke on Jesus, based on faith, it became possible. And that was an amazing piece of news to these people about the kingdom of God, because for generations they'd lived under this law, and Jesus was beginning to untie it and untangle it and make it into something that was doable and livable and something that brought an abundance of life. And this was a great attraction to everybody that heard Jesus. And that's why we have crowds of 5,000 following him. And everywhere in the New Testament we read about Jesus, there were thousands of people just crowding around. They wanted to hear this message. They wanted to see this abundance of life in action. They wanted to see the miraculous of the kingdom of heaven. And so everywhere Jesus went carrying this message, people wanted to hear it. And so here he was in the home of Mary and Martha, who were his close friends. Their brother was Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. And they were talking, or he was talking to them about this new kingdom of heaven. I suppose when somebody comes into your home, you know what they're going to talk about. You will have friends, and you know some will talk about football, some will talk about this, food, whatever. People come into your home and they carry a message with them. And so Mary and Martha would have known that when Jesus came, he was going to carry this message. He was going to talk to them about the kingdom of heaven. This was life-changing stuff. This was just taking their thinking to somewhere where they never expected. It was exciting. It was revelation for their hearts. And Mary sat down and listened to what Jesus had to say. Martha, on the other hand, became distracted with the practical issues of guests coming into the home. I mean, this, you know, guests coming into your home, you do have to look after them. And so she got distracted and missed the message that Jesus was talking to Mary about. Just in our faith walk, it can be so easy to get distracted about what Jesus wants to talk to us about. And often small, insignificant things can distract us from what he's trying to say to us. And I'm sure this morning, as we sat here, some of you won't be listening to what I'm saying. That's all right. Because we're distracted. Something is on our mind. When I was a little boy growing up in church, it was usually food. What are we having for dinner? What am I going to do after dinner? When am I going to be able to play football? When am I going to be able to do all these things that I really wanted to do? And this morning we can be sat here just distracted. Some of us are distracted by big things in life as well. Not everything is insignificant. Martha was distracted by something that needed doing. She had to prepare the house for guests that were coming in. And as we go through life, there are big things that happen to us, and we can be distracted by them. They cause us to focus all our attention on them. They become part of our daily life, our daily routine, and they can almost take over what the truth of God living in our hearts is all about. When Martha drew Jesus' attention to the fact that she was doing all the work and Martha wasn't, I'm sure we've all been in that place where we think we're doing more than somebody else, and it's not fair, because here's me doing all this work. Haven't you seen what I'm doing, Jesus? And she's just sat down listening to you. That is not fair, is it? And I'm sure as she was preparing the stuff, the pans would be getting louder and louder as she shared her frustration in what she saw. And we often do that, don't we? People can't hear. My mum used to do that. Every time I watched football, out came the Hoover. Every time. Wasn't fair that I was sat down, because I've got two brothers and my dad, so it was four onto one, really. And we'd sit down and watch football, and she'd get a bit miffed about that because we were sat down and she was making tea, so she'd come in with the Hoover just to let us know she was still there. And we can be like that sometimes. I'm doing all this and nobody else is. I'm going to let them know just what's going on. But her instruction to her was very gentle. When Jesus speaks into our heart, you know, it is gentle. Even when he's disciplining us, even when he's speaking sometimes hard things into our heart, he's a very gentle God. And sometimes we think he's going to be displeased with us, or he's going to discipline us in a harsh way. But he's a God of love and grace, and he speaks to our heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He begins to open this avenue up where God speaks to our heart. He said, Martha, There's always things that need doing. That's true. But at this moment, the most important thing is the kingdom of heaven. And what Mary has chosen to do will stay with her forever. But you were distracted and didn't hear it. So in a gentle way, he was saying that, yeah, I know Mary is sat down listening to me. But in this moment, that is much more important than preparing food for guests. And you've missed it. You've missed that moment. And we can all be in a position where we are distracted by the things of life. And we've talked about that. And back in the day, the religious leaders were distracted about keeping the law. And they were so distracted by keeping the law. And if you read in the New Testament, you'll see the interaction between the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Jesus, that they missed the fact that he was the Messiah. Because he wasn't doing it the way they thought he should do. Because they were so focused on keeping the law that they missed who Jesus was. And we can be like that in our lives. And people outside of the kingdom sometimes miss it. And there's a scripture for that. And this is what it says. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of God. The glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so there's something about our human nature that doesn't recognize who God is and can be blinded from seeing truth. And we miss it. We miss who God is. There's a great story that many of us will have heard and gone through in Sunday school. And many sermons have been preached on it. And I just want to use it as an illustration for how when we begin to find truth, we can be distracted by many things. And it's the parable of the sower. So Luke chapter 8. A farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." So the seed is the word of God. The seed is the truth about who God is. The seed is that thing that God wants us to put into our hearts and allow it to grow. And we can be distracted by the enemy. Satan comes in and he sort of clouds our minds. He blinds our eyes to the truth. And we can wither and die. Some hear and believe and accept it, but trials of faith come along. And they die spiritually and never really get going. Some hear and believe, but the distractions of this world catch their attention and they never mature. Some hear and grow by being persistent in their focus of God and produce a great crop in their lives. For anybody that's starting anything new in life, you'll know how hard it is to keep it going. Change of food, fitness regime, habits that we're trying to change, lifestyle that we're reassessing, the way we speak, our language, the things that we do in life that we've always done. If you try to change them, you'll know how difficult this is to do. We can start off very well. Usually day one's okay. And by day two, we're going, it's not quite as easy as what I thought. I can remember I tried to learn to play the guitar once. And on day two, I thought, I'm not doing this anymore. It's too hard. You know what it's like in life, don't you? We can so easily give up. Well, one thing the Bible makes very clear is that God has done everything he can and provided a way for us to be part of his plan, to give us all we need for life and godliness, to give us fullness of salvation and abundant life. He's done everything that he can do. And if there is a weak link, it's me and it's you. We sang a song this morning. We sang a number of songs that were very challenging. We sang a song that we said, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender all. Quite a big statement, that. But it's only as we surrender all, it's only as we focus on him that we begin to experience the fullness of who God is. Luke 12. This is quite a long reading. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan who runs after such things, and your father knows that you need them. But seek the kingdom of God, and these things will be given to you as well. As Christians, we live by faith in God. The most important thing we must do in the daily life is seek first his kingdom. Include God in all that we do. And what he's saying is all these things will be added to you. I don't know whether you've ever worried about something over a period of time, then suddenly it's gone and you think, why was I worrying about that? Where was my faith in that process? God wants to take the worry out of life. He wants to take our concerns about provision out of life. If you can imagine living in that kind of place where we don't worry about anything, that's where God wants us to live. But that's quite hard because stuff happens all the time. But we must seek first the kingdom of God. We must seek first his kingdom every day, putting God into what we're doing and allowing him to bring peace into our hearts. I don't know whether you have ever read Ecclesiastes, but it's a book that is searching for the meaning of life. It's a book that is looking at life in reality. And very often we read that, you know, we live one day, we die the next day, all that kind of stuff. And this, in Ecclesiastes 12, kind of sums up what life is all about. This is the conclusion of the heart of the writer. It says, now all this has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. When our focus is on God, when our focus is on being obedient to him, then the rest of life begins to make sense and it all works out. Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangled, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. talks there about the things that hinder in life and the things that so easily entangle us. And we all face different issues that entangle our thoughts, our behaviors. They sap us of our energy sometimes. But we're encouraged to put all that to one side. Put it all to one side and fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who on his journey was distracted by many things. Satan tried to distract him, but he kept going. At no point did Jesus throw in the towel and go, "I've had enough," because his focus, the main thing that he was going to do, he continued to do, even though it was difficult for him. In fact, we know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked for this to be taken from him. "Yet not what I want, but what you want, Father." And that's the attitude that really we're looking for as we mature as believers, is to focus on what God is and what he wants in our heart, and not to be distracted by all this other stuff that he will take care of anyway. 2 Peter, "But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." He says, but whoever does not have them, them is the few verses before. And it says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to grow as believers, if we want to sort of mature and receive all that God has got for us, we've not got to get distracted by the things of this life. We've not got to allow things to crowd into our mind, into our thinking, and the things that we do. We've got to make every effort to add these things to the way that we live. Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. And if we're beginning to focus on those kind of things, we will not be ineffective and we will not be unproductive in our knowledge and our outworking of our faith in Jesus Christ. We've got to acknowledge that all kinds of things happen in life that do distract us, and some can be quite serious. But if we allow those to become the number one thing in our lives, then God is put to one side and he can't do in our hearts what he wants to do. And if we want to mature and be fruitful in our service for God, we must choose to focus on the main thing. There's a saying, whenever we go to conferences, there's a saying that is used in terms of our focus on God as church, and it's, let the main thing be the main thing. Don't get distracted by things that don't matter, but let the main thing become the main thing. And that's what God wants us to live by, to let him be the main thing in our heart. We have a helper, the Holy Spirit, who wants to help us with our distractions. He wants to reveal to us the fullness of who God is. He wants to bring something of God into our heart whenever we face difficult circumstances. We need to ask him. One of the songs we sang this morning, "King of my heart, King of my soul, you are the one that I live for." Is that true? No other name, no other throne, you are the one that I live for. And it's just an encouragement. I'm not here to criticize anybody. But sometimes when our Christian life just isn't working, when it's not producing what we think it should produce, we know that God has done everything that he can. He's provided everything that we need. And the issue is our relationship with him, how we see it and what we do about it. Our issue is focusing on him, the author and finisher of our faith, not being distracted by the things that so easily distract us, but allowing him to work in our lives, to let him be king of my heart and king of my soul. You are the one that I live for. And when we do that, we will begin to have a different experience of who God is. He breaks into our hearts. He sets us free. He gives us abundance of life. He begins to put us back together again. He gives us a new destiny. He gives us new vision. He gives us new thoughts. He gives us new love for other people. He gives us new passions. But we've got to focus on him and let him be the king of our heart and the one that I live for. Thank you for listening this morning.